Well, good morning. I appreciate you guys having me back here. It's always a joy for me to come and be with you. Seems like today we have on our hearts this whole idea of drawing closer to God. And as I begin to ponder about this and think it through, I really thought we needed to start with just some time of confession from me. Folks, I stand before you here and I'm not very good at this. Drawing close and being close with the Lord Jesus is often very difficult for me in my life. And so today I want to be kind of informal. I want this to be a campfire talk. I want this to be sweet tea on the back porch kind of chat. Because quite frankly, drawing close to the Lord Jesus is a difficult thing for a lot of us. I'm almost 40 and, I am in the midst of job stuff, money concerns, children growing, trying to make this done. This on the house is broken. Things at the job are really starting to get to me. And then all this whole time, I'm supposed to be close to the Lord, especially one that proclaims to be a Christian very publicly. It's just difficult. It's hard. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction." And I have lived that passage. There has been consequence for me for not following the Lord always. It's hurt. It brings rough road. It brings a difficult time. My intentions are good. I always intend to do. I always intend to follow through. I always say I'm going to. But if I'm really honest with myself, and if I'm honest with you here today, it's a struggle. It's rough. And I've reaped some of that destruction because I just flat think I can do it better and I don't need it. But we do need it. And I don't know what that may be, for me. It's oftentimes, you know, war with appetites, a hard heart. God, I don't have. God, you should. God didn't answer. My prayers aren't being answered. I. And it brings me further and further away from the Lord. So this drawing close and drawing closer to God that hopefully we will be talking about today, that's going to be hopefully something for all of us as we dive into God's Word. Maybe you felt this way at some point in your life as well. Maybe at some point in time, your life has kind of been spiraling out of control, and it's not a belief thing. We know who the Lord Jesus is and we believe Him, but getting that belief and getting that to translate through the day-to-day grind is difficult. It's hard. But because we are here together right now, because we are here in this place, I believe all of us here at some level want to draw closer to God or else we wouldn't be here. All of us have been these things in our lives at some point if we're honest. We have all been unrighteous. We have all been self-righteous, and we have all been prodigals. All of us have. Me first. And maybe the hardness of heart affects all of us to some degree. But we've heard it all, we've seen it all. It's not for me. Maybe we behave as if we know better than God together in our lives. We would never say that. But in our actions and how we behave, God, I got this. I don't need you for this. Doesn't really make a lot of sense for you to be here. Well, the good news is God encountered this in the Word, in the pages of Scripture. Because let's be honest here, the further you get away from God, the further I get away from God, the more trouble is in life. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to say that life is always better, but the closer we get to Jesus, our life is transformed, without a doubt. It is transformed the closer we get to God. So let's turn with me, if you would, to Luke 15. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's go to a familiar passage that I like to call the lost son and the loving father. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And I just want to see what God has to say about this very thing that I struggle with, and this very thing that you may indeed struggle with as well. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Jesus told this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "Give me my share of your estate now instead of waiting upon you to die." This guy wanted his best life now. He did. So his father divided his wealth between his sons. And this is pretty significant because only the inheritance would come here if the father had died. So basically he was looking at his father and said, "I wish you would just die already. I want what you have." That's what he was saying. A few days later, the son packed all of his belongings and left home to live in a distant land. He wanted to get far away from his father and from all that he knew as he could. He did it on purpose. He wanted this. He got as far away from his father as he could. And there he squandered the gift he'd been given and wasted his life on money, on wild parties, and reckless living. About the time all his money ran out, a severe famine, a downturn in the economy, hit the land. And he began to starve because he was left with nothing. The only job he could find was feeding swine on a farm. That's a problem for a Jewish boy. Feeding swine on a farm, he became so desperate and hungry that even the pig slop he was feeding the swine looked good to him. But no one would give him anything for his hunger. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "This is crazy. At my father's home, even the lowest paid workers eat well, while I'm far away dying of hunger. I'm going to return home to my father and humbly say, 'Father, I have sinned against both God and you, and I am not worthy to be a part of this family or called your son. But please make me one of your servants who works for you.'" With that attitude, he headed back home to his father. So he had this speech prepared. He you know, come in the front door, he had this speech ready, right? He's like, "I'm not worthy. I'm not a part of the family. I just want to be a servant. I want to be unknown. I know what I've done." But while the son was still a long distance off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran out to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against both God and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring me the finest robe in our house and put on him. Then get my signet ring for his finger and shoes for his feet. And then roast the calf we've been fattening. We are going to celebrate with a feast of eating and drinking. For this child of mine was distant and dead, and now he's back and alive. He was lost, but now he's found." So the party began. What a wonderful story. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and I just ask a special blessing on all of us, Lord. Help us to cut through whatever hardness of heart may be in me, in all of us, that we would truly experience you here today, that we leave this place with new resolve. Lord, that we return home. Lord, that we find home. Lord, that your grace and your mercy and the blood of your Son has made a way that we can please you by drawing close to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So we see this passage here, and basically from this passage, we can see basically four steps that I can find. Maybe there are others. To draw closer with God. Step one is we need to recognize and be angry. There needs to be a fed up in our life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know this way is leading to destruction. I know that this is not the best that God has for me. All of us are beat up by life at one degree or another. No one has a perfect life. No one has a time that is just a life of ease. And a lot of times that life of ease and no trouble becomes an idol in our own hearts. And if God doesn't come up with it and give us this ease of time, then it is a step on moving away from God. So we see this in this passage. Recognize and be angry. He wasted it all. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry. He finally came to his senses. So that's the step one, is we need to recognize and be angry. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else." Folks, when we are serious about doing business with God, when all of the pretense and the pretense is over, when the excuses are gone, when who thinks this and what will they say and all that is just over with, then we come to recognize that we are all broken. We are busted. And that God alone can heal those gaps in our own heart. That's when we'll start to get serious. Step number two, is we need to take responsibility and own it. We need to own up that where we are, we paddled our own canoe there. You see, in Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, "I have sinned against God and you." He recognized that he was there of his own choosing and of his own accord. God has given us and has planted us in a cause and effect universe. This is how he does it. And that's not a very spiritual thing in one regard, but we know that certain actions will bring certain consequences. We are here because we chose to be here, both large and small. I am here because I choose to be here, because of choices I made long and, small and large throughout life. And that has drifted me away from God. So I have to take responsibility and I have to own it, the mess that I'm in. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your sins have separated you from your God and have hidden his face from you." So this sin in our hearts, these idols of our heart, anything that we are placing over and above the Lordship of Jesus has separated us from God and it has hidden our face from them. Psalm 51 verses 1 through 4 says, "Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins, wash away all my evil, and make me clean. I recognize my faults, and I am conscious that I have sinned against you." That's Psalm 51. But the good news is this. Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The Lord says, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, you can remove it, and I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." The Lord wants to do business with us at whatever point we are. The Lord wants us to be and draw close to Him, that He can take the stain of our sins, the hardness of our heart, the attitudes, whatever, and He can remove that and make us as clean as freshly fallen snow. God gives us a fresh start whenever we need it. God says today can be the day that we can do that. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Test yourself and make sure that you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. If you fail the test, do something about it. Paul says that we should have a habit of spiritual checkup. This is doing and not feeling. This is Christ, not me. This is service, not taking. This is where we put God on the throne of our hearts and put us into the servant role. But not as a servant as in the prodigal son here. We are sons and daughters. We are adopted in. We have special place and privilege, but make no mistake, the father is the head of the household. So what's step number three? We need to recognize who God is and offer ourselves to him. Folks, man's greatest need, our greatest need in life is forgiveness. That is our greatest need when we get right down to it. Luke 15:12 said, the son drifted away, saying, give me my share. Remember? That's what he said. You see, in Luke 15:19, he returned to the father and says, make me a servant. You see a complete change that he recognized who his father was. Because, Romans 12:1-2 says, because God is merciful to you, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does this tell us here? This passage right here kind of encapsulates what we're talking about. My problem is a problem in my head. That's my problem. Because how I think determines how I feel, and how I feel determines how I act. So this is a problem. Of conforming to the pattern of this world by my mind and being transformed by the renewing of your mind is what God is offering us when we draw close. He's not offering necessarily that all will be well. He's not offering that all problems will cease. But what he is offering is that my life will be transformed as I renew my mind and I draw closer to the Lord Jesus, as I offer myself as a sacrifice to him. So how I think governs how I feel, and how I feel governs how I act. So if we start with the mind and ask God to truly transform our mind, this closer to God thing will be a lot easier on us. And what was the father's response here? We see in Luke 15. Filled with love and compassion, verse 20, he ran out to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And then verse 22, bring the feast. He was celebrating his son being home, being rescued. So that's step four, is we need to celebrate with gratitude of all that the Lord has done. We're going to celebrate with a feast and eating and drinking. He was lost, but now he is found, and so the party begins, Luke 15 says. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing to the Lord, because he has been so good to me. 1 Corinthians 11 says, on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. Think about that. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He broke the bread and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. We're going to be celebrating communion here in just a few moments. Where are you today? Have you drifted away from the Lord as I've done so many times? Maybe you're here and perhaps have never met the Lord. But I want you to imagine something here as we close up here. Imagine what life would look like if the games were over, if we changed our thinking. Imagine a day when the pride in our heart falls, when conflicts are resolved, and when love reigns. Imagine broken lives and broken families rescued from the way of destruction because God transforms. Imagine this church truly living out the one another's found in the New Testament. It allowed the love of God to transform a church and then transform a community by the church. Imagine the idols of our heart, those things that we worship in life, falling, never to be picked up again. And imagine one King, one Lord, and one mission be our greatest passion in life. Imagine what life would look like in that way. So as we prepare to take communion here, I ask that you bow with me and let's pray and let's just ask God to help us examine our own hearts and to see where we are. Father God, we come before you and we thank you so very much for all that you have given us in this short time that we've had together. God, I appreciate how much this church encourages me every time I come. Lord, start with me. That my heart is often so wicked and so distant from you, Lord. And that's a me problem. That's not a you problem. But God, I recognize and I ask that you would cleanse my heart as you have promised to do so in your word. God, help me to remember today that it's a new day and that I can start over and we can all start over from this today once we just decide to do so. I ask that you would help us transform our minds, transform how we think, that will translate into how we live our lives each day. Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for your forgiveness, and for being able to use us as weak and broken as we are. We love you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.